And I would pray that we would keep praying for them through this whole conflict. Turn to Psalm 147 tonight. So we finish up the book of Psalms this evening. Father, I pray that you would bless this time in your word. I ask that you would be glorified in the midst of your people. And I pray that as your people, we would live above the life of mediocrity. I pray that we would live above fear, anxiety. Lord, I pray that you would free us from wallowing around in the prison of self-pity, murmuring, complaining, that we would just simply live above all that. Keep our perspective right. Keep it positive. Keep it upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. These last four psalms in the book of Psalms are purely psalms of praise. These are praise songs. Great way for the book to end. 35 times in these last four psalms, we are exhorted to praise the Lord, to praise his name above all else. And I believe that that should be the perspective that we should carefully maintain at all times as Christians. Our mentality always should be a praise the Lord mentality. To live our lives daily occupied with God, considering his greatness, thinking about his majesty, his grace, his power, his righteousness, every day praising God for who he is, praising God for what he's done, for what he is doing, and what he's going to do. That's how we make it. That's how we make it in this life, having our eyes upon him, focused with him. As it says in verse 1 of Psalm 147, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Do you see that verse? Praising the Lord is good, amen? Praising the Lord is beautiful. Praising the Lord is pleasant. That's how we're to live. No matter what circumstance we might face in this life, no matter how difficult, you just keep praising the Lord. Keep focused on him. Because let me tell you, as Christians, no matter what circumstance we might be facing in life, we always have more to praise God about than to complain, right? You want to live above the level of mediocrity? You want to live above all the complaining? You want to live above fear? Well, then let me tell you, you have a praise the Lord mentality every single day. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Keep the praises of God forever on your lips. This psalm goes on to give many reasons why we praise the Lord. In verse 2, it says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This psalm was written after the Babylonian captivity. We've studied this as we've been going through Daniel on Sunday mornings. The Jewish people were taken into captivity in Babylon. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The walls were destroyed. And for 70 years, there they were in captivity in Babylon. After the 70 years, they were allowed to return to Jerusalem. And after many years of heartache and struggle, some 50 or 60 additional years, they finally were able to rebuild that temple and rebuild that city and rebuild those walls. And this psalm was written to celebrate that. They're saying, praise the Lord. Because we were outcasts at one point, but God has regathered us back into the city of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, our city was broken down, but God has rebuilt it. Praise the Lord, we were brokenhearted, but now we've been healed. Praise the Lord, we were wounded, but now all our wounds have been bound. Now, I want you to just think for a moment, no matter what trial you might be facing right now as a Christian, no matter what issue, no matter what anxiety, I want you to dwell. You think clearly about how good God has been to you. You think about the time in your life when you were lost in the world, making a mess of your life, and how one day you gave your life to Christ, and He came into your life and He changed you. How He has repaired you. How He has made you born again. How He has saved you as He has washed away all your sins. Many of you came to Christ and He healed your families. He healed your brokenhearted. He healed marriages. There is always a reason to praise the Lord. And salvation is number one. Amen? Dwell on that. Think of what God has done in your life. Verse 4, He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. We've seen this theme throughout our study of the book of Psalms. David and all the psalmists, they say, think of the greatness of God. Think of His creation. Let that be the motivation for you to praise Him and worship Him. Think of the stars. He created all the stars. He names every star by name. Dwell on that. Think of how great your God is. Every morning, be inspired from nature. Be inspired from creation. Look at the beautiful sunrise, the beautiful sunset. How about the lovely rainstorms in the desert? Need motivation to praise God? Look at His greatness in creation. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. Hasn't it been neat to see those mountains look a little greener lately? Usually they're so dry, but with all the rain, you see green on a mountaintop in El Paso, Texas. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens. They cry. The psalmist says, I look in nature and I see the providence of God and how He provides rain and how He provides for all the wild beasts. And he's saying, thank you, God, for providing. I praise you for providing and I praise you for providing for me. Don't think about what you don't have. Think about how God provides for us every single day. Even when times are tough, we're eating. Amen? Look at verse 10. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. As people, we tend to admire and we're impressed with human strength. We're impressed with military might. In those days, it was horses. We're impressed with physique, the strength of man. God is not impressed with the strength of man. God does not delight in the strength of man. You know who God delights in? Those who fear him. Worshippers. Those who live their life in reverence to him. It says very clearly he delights in those people. He takes pleasure in them. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. Look at this very carefully. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. When this psalm was written, Jerusalem was experiencing one of the greatest times of blessing in their history as a nation. As I said, they have just come back to Jerusalem, they've rebuilt it all, and the blessing of God is upon them. And they're praising God for four things. They're saying, we praise you because our city is secure. The bars are back up. Not liquor bars. The bars that would keep enemies out from the city. They say, for the first time in a long time, we feel secure in our nation. And he says, we praise you, Lord, because you have blessed our children. Our children are safe. Our children are healthy. They're living in an awesome community again. We praise you, Lord, because you've made peace in our borders. That is, we're all getting along. And we praise you, Lord, because you filled the city with the finest wheat, agricultural blessing. At this time, they were experiencing those blessings, and they were praising the Lord for it. Now, I think those four characteristics are an indication of the blessing of God upon a nation. And when you don't see those four characteristics in a nation, uh-oh. Now, I praise God. That's another reason to pray. I praise God for living in America. I still believe we're the greatest country on the face of the earth right now. And I praise God every day for that. But notice these four things. If God's hand of blessing is upon our country, then we're supposed to be secured all the way around. Is our nation as secure as it's been in the past? Let me ask you this. Do you feel like the children in this nation are safe? Do we have children living in safety in America? It says peace within the borders. Huh. Do you think we're all getting along in America? Look at Ferguson. I don't care where you are politically, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, but these guys will not get along, will they? Is there any peace politically? And then, of course, God's blessing upon a nation is characterized by economic prosperity. The finest wheat. Are we living in prosperity right now in America? No, it's tough. So although I still praise God every day for living in this great country, I am very concerned about this country. I believe that this country needs to return to a fear of God. A fear of the Lord. Verse 15, he sends out his commands to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. Again, speaking of the tremendous agricultural blessing that they were experiencing as God is blessing the land with water. Verse 19, he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. They're also praising the Lord at this time because God is speaking to their nation. It says he's declaring his word to Jacob. There is a declaration publicly of the word of God in Jerusalem at that time. And you read the history, you read the scripture, and you understand that there was a revival in the land when they came back. They began to celebrate the Passover. The priests began to function. They began to pay attention to the details of the law. They would never again return to pagan idolatry. Remember, idolatry was part of the biggest sin that got them to Babylon to begin with. Their experience in Babylon purged them from that. They came back to the land. They returned to the Lord. Never again did the nation of Israel fall into blatant pagan idolatry like we read in other portions of Old Testament history. That is another sign of God's blessing upon a nation. When his word is proclaimed publicly and when his word is received and obeyed. Again, I look at our country. And I fear for our country because I don't see a great reverence for God's word in our country. In fact, sad to say, I don't see it being faithfully proclaimed much in this country. I feel for the most part, the church has stopped proclaiming the word of God and has started proclaiming self-help, a bunch of psychobabble. Where are the churches that preach the Bible? And then the word is proclaimed. And does the secular society even take it seriously? Absolutely. We're not embracing. Our country is not embracing. So again, although I praise God to live in America, I'm very concerned about the United States of America. Wonderful reasons, though, in this chapter to praise the Lord. And by the way, I believe Psalm 147 will take on a whole new meaning when Jesus Christ comes again, sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. All of Israel's regathered to the land. Peace poured out upon planet Earth. Prosperity. I think we will sing Psalm 147. At the second coming of Christ, as he ushers forth and issues in his wonderful millennial kingdom, literally on planet Earth. Now, Psalm 148 is a choir psalm. There's a very special choir that you see singing in this psalm. Now, when I grew up, when I grew up, my family and we attended lots of different Christian churches, lots of different, and I can remember as a kid attending some churches that had a big choir loft. Any of you ever been to a church where there's a big choir? And I remember I didn't really appreciate it all that much as a kid, but now I really do. I enjoy choirs. I like listening to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and just all these people gathered together and all the different parts of harmony, bass, tenor, alto, baritone, all of them singing and blending together. Isn't that a beautiful sound? All these voices joined together in praising the Lord. This psalm speaks of the most spectacular choir ever, a choir made up of all of God's creation. Check it out. First, the choir in heaven, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. So look at this choir. The top section begins with the angels. The hosts of heaven are singing praise. In the book of Revelation, 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels, all singing. And then you come down a little bit in that section of the choir. And all the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars of light. Picture this in your mind. All the angels of heaven, then the sun, and then the moon, and then the billions of stars that fill the galaxy, all singing. And then you come down a little further. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, you waters above the heavens. I believe that refers to the clouds and the atmosphere. And it's all praising the Lord. Then you get to the earth, verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Look at this. Look at this. All of creation is joining in. Now the earth joins in. All the mountains and the hills, all of the trees begin to sing. Then all of the wildlife, all of the animal life, the cattle. That cracks me up. Cows singing, cattle. The birds of the air. It says specifically that the sea creatures sing. I read an article several years ago by the National Geographic Society. And according to research conducted by them, the 40-ton creation of God, the humpback whale, has a fascinating singing ability. Recordings have been made of the humpback whale singing in various pitches in solos, duets, trios, and choruses of dozens of interweaving voices lasting from 6 to 30 minutes. I thought of that article when I read this. You imagine the bass tones of the humpback whales. All of creation, created by God, all of them, everyone, praising their maker. The angels, the stars, the heavens, the earth. And us, verse 11, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all of his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. The everything in the heavenly, everything on the earth, and then all the people, the kings of the earth, the big shots of the earth, all the peoples, those known, those unknown, young and old, male and female, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. What a choir. That's why we should be worshipers, because listen, we were created to worship. We have been created by God to know Him, to enjoy Him, and to join with all of creation in praising Him. And all of creation will praise Him for all of eternity. Let's be a part of that choir today. Sing praise. What a beautiful psalm, Psalm 148. This has been the inspiration of some of the classic hymns in the church. Charles Wesley, based on this psalm, wrote, "O for a thousand tongues to sing," in 1749. That song, the doxology, sung thousands and thousands of times in churches throughout church history. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. This is what we're made to do. Do this. Do this every day. Don't wallow around in the problems of your life. Don't sink. Don't live in fear. Have your spirit lifted by praising God. I think Psalm 149 is another one of those psalms that will have greater meaning when Jesus comes again. I think this is a psalm we will live when He comes and sets up His kingdom. Look what it says in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of saints. When Jesus comes again, we will sing to Him a new song. And the idea is a brand new song for a whole new quality of life. A whole new quality of life is coming. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. Yeah, can you just see people dancing in joy in the courts of the temple as King Jesus reigns? Verse 4, the Lord takes pleasure in His people. Wow. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. When Jesus comes again, we will be singing. We will also be reigning. It says that the middle of verse 6, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment, this honor have all His saints. Praise the Lord. When Jesus comes again, all of those evil nations will be done away with. We will reign and rule with Him. There will be no ISIS. There will be no North Korea. There will be no communist China or communist Russia. There will be one kingdom upon the earth ruled by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace, who will bring prosperity worldwide. And you and I as Christians, we're going to praise Him. We will dance before Him. And we will reign and rule with Him. So since that's coming, let's praise Him now. Practice. Some of you are thinking, you know, all the singing, I need lots of practice. Go ahead, practice. Sing out. You say, well, I don't have a good voice. That's all right, sing out. We'll cut you slack. And I do believe that in the kingdom age, when Christ comes again, we'll all have great voices. I believe we will sing like we've never sung before. So practice now. And now the grand finale, the Philharmonic extravaganza, the final hallelujah, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That little psalm answers four questions. Where do we praise the Lord? Praise God in his sanctuary, at church with his people. Praise him in the mighty firmament, that is the expanse. In other words, where do we praise God? Everywhere. Everywhere. Why do we praise God? Verse 2, for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. You praise God everywhere for his mighty power, his glorious acts, and for his greatness. How do we praise him? With every instrument known to mankind in the history of mankind. Look at those instruments. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, the wind section. All the trumpets. The lute, the flutes, all of the stringed instruments, the violin, the cello, the bass violin, the guitar, the electric guitar, the bass guitar. Take it all out. And then it does, I know some Christians don't like this, but it does say, and it does give great mention to percussion instruments. Loud beatings of the drum. And it even goes out of its way to say, the cymbals, the loud cymbals, the clashing cymbals. Drums, guitars, wind instruments, stringed instruments, pianos, every single instrument. Use it all out. Go all out. Who should praise the Lord? Verse 6, everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath tonight? Then you're supposed to praise the Lord. What a great way for the book of Psalms to end. You know what this says to me? It says, Christian, you praise your God extravagantly. Leave nothing in the bag. Pull it all out. Give it all. And so we should be men and women who praise the Lord. Christian, live your life praising the Lord. It will lift you above all the junk. It'll keep you hopeful. I don't know how people make it in this world without seeing the Lord and thinking upon him. I want to encourage all of you, now that we've sort of gone through the book of Psalms here on Wednesday night, not in great detail, but some detail, but I want to encourage you. Keep the book of Psalms a regular part of your biblical diet. You be sure to be reading the Psalms regularly. As you're reading through the Bible, find one of those Bible reading plans that has you read a psalm every day. And I really think that's important. For several reasons. I do believe the book of Psalms is a book that inspires us to worship. It really does. It inspires you to praise. Constantly throughout, there's these praise songs. Think about his greatness. Think about what he's done. And that's what we need. The second reason I would recommend daily or at least regular reading of the Psalms, I really believe that it's in this book that God meets us emotionally. I feel like the book of Psalms is the heartbeat of Scripture. I sort of see the book of Psalms as the emotional Grand Central Station of the Bible. You can find a psalm in the book of Psalms to match any emotion or feeling that you might have. And you can take that feeling and you can bring it to one of these psalms. And it's happened to me many times. God meets you there and heals you emotionally. And we need that, don't we? Experiencing depression in life, you can find a psalm that will help you in the midst of depression and despair. Experiencing fear, you can find a psalm. Angry, wake up one morning angry, you can find a psalm. On your sick bed, you can find a psalm. On your deathbed, you can find a psalm. Confused about something as a Christian? Oh, you can find a psalm, and the Lord can heal you. In fact, I just want to mention there's these two psalms that God has used so many times in my life, and we've talked about us when we study them. Just think Psalm 73 and then change the digits, 37. Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. All you have to do is remember one of them and then change the digit, right? Those two psalms have been used so many times in my life. Because remember, we've talked about times where as a Christian, you're so down. You feel like you're serving the Lord and you're having all these bum things happen. And you look around and all the wicked people, they've got all the money they want. They seem to be living at ease. And every now and then, we as Christians, we get down and we think, why am I serving the Lord? When everyone else seems to, you go to Psalm 37 and go to Psalm 73. That'll straighten you right out. Take any emotion, any feeling. Let God minister to you there. The book of Psalms colors many of the stories that we read about in David's life. I mean, David, for many years in his life, lived in caves. And we read several psalms, didn't we, that he wrote from the cave. How was he feeling? Go check it out. Maybe you feel trapped. Maybe you feel angry. Maybe you're having people gossip about you. Find comfort in the Psalms. We need that. Read this book regularly. And then also I want to say about the book of Psalms, it does reveal in beautiful ways a lot of great information about Jesus. There's much about Jesus in the book of Psalms. There are several Psalms that we know speak of Jesus in his suffering when he was on the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. Psalm 22 The very psalm that Jesus was no doubt praying and meditating as he was hanging on the cross. Great insight into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the book of Psalms, as we saw twice tonight even, gives us great hope for the future, because there's many psalms that point to that glorious future. When Christ comes again, when he sets up that kingdom. So give your attention to the book of Psalms. Keep it a regular part of your biblical diet. I'd like to have our worship team come on up. And since we've talked about praising God, we're going to finish with another praise song. And I want you to stand and